to see each and every one here this morning. Glad you made it in safely. Back to winter weather. Last week I was working in a t-shirt. This week I'm back to a hoodie and a coat. I don't know what's going on here, but the weather can't make up its mind. I'm kind of rooting for spring to come around. My wife is elbowing me, rooting for winter to stay. So we have a little competition at the house. She likes the cold weather. I'm over the cold weather. So, but it's good to see everyone here this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Ralph, if you'd open up the service with a word of prayer.
Father, again, we're grateful for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you for the opportunity to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that you would continue to guide and direct our pastor as he leads this church and the way you have him to do so. Pray that you would help us to be faithful in this day in which we live. We do not know how much time we have left. And not only that, as we have no doubt heard and read and seen so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Ukraine and other surrounding regions are really having a hard time right now. And we pray your hand of blessing and protection to be upon them.
Yes.
We want your goal accomplished. And we do know that if we leave this life as your children, then we are present with you in heaven. So we pray that you would just continue to give encouragement and strength to the people there. We pray that those who might not know the Lord Jesus as Savior, as a result of this, might see their need and come to him for salvation. We pray that you would be with our brother as he comes and presents his ministry in the next hour, that you would give him the words to say, and we're thankful for the opportunity to have he and his wife here with us today. Give us a good day in you and help us to bring forth fruit that would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name,
amen. It's an exciting morning. This morning we have Brian and Clarissa McDonald there with us this morning. We're going to hear from them. I introduced myself this morning and I said, Brian, I'm Brian as well. But unfortunately, he spells it wrong. He uses a Y. Everyone knows it's an I. But we'll let it slide this morning. But, we're excited to have you. If you would, stand with me if you're willing and able and turn to page 415. We're going to sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning
720. Page 720. Jesus loves even me.
He's great.
Everything to God in prayer.
with us this morning, missionaries to the Jewish people here in the States, and I know he's going to try to get over to Israel at some point. I've heard nothing but good things about Brother McDonald, so I asked him to come by, and he's going to share with us this morning what God's put upon his heart for the Jewish people, and also what God's called him to do, and brother, that's all I'm going to do.
Good morning. Boker Tov, if I were to say it in Hebrew. Tov is the word good. You can say lots of things in Hebrew with that word anyway. Boker Tov, Lila Tov, we're ready for bed. Anyhow, preacher, thank you for having us. We do appreciate it. If everybody just kind of turn in their Bibles, I'm going to say a couple things before I go too far, but turn to Romans chapter 9. If you will, please. Give me just a second here. I hope I have this mic placed as well as I need to. This horn and I are kind of attached. As far as our ministry goes, there's a couple of things that we try to do. Street preaching is one of them. Our street preaching style is a little bit different than the average. We do try to be in Jewish areas and present the gospel in our street preaching with a Jewish emphasis. I utilize my instrument here in singing, which the singing usually drives people away. We do have some things that we play that are Jewish music that will tend to draw the attention on the streets of the Jewish people where we go because they immediately recognize it as that minor Jewish music and usually will cause some sort of an engagement with the Jewish people. We also have quite a selection of tracts that we give out to the Gentiles. It's not exclusive to the Jew. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, it says to the Jew first. So there is a emphasis there for us. Obviously, we are missionaries to the Jewish people. Paul's heart in Romans chapter 9, where he starts out, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. His desire and his broken heart, he even goes on in verse 3 to say, for I could wish myself accursed from Christ, for my brother, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, in verse 4, who are Israelites. Paul was a Benjamite, and of course everybody well knows Romans 10:1. It's my favorite verse in the Bible. It says, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Quickly, I'll give a testimony. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. Originally spent most of my life growing up there, just outside of an Orthodox and Hasidic Jewish community, which is located in Pikesville. If anybody's familiar with that area down there, they would kind of know where I'm talking about. It's Baltimore County, just outside the city, and there's another large Jewish community in Montgomery County, which is just outside of D.C., about a half hour from where I grew up. Being there my whole life, I was a teenager. I was searching for God. I didn't understand a lot of things. Raised in a Roman Catholic home, that Roman Catholicism in itself presents a very anti-Semitic view. They are not friends to the Jews. In fact, my family didn't tell me because they were sadly embarrassed of our heritage for many years because they were Roman Catholic, that I do come from a Jewish descent. My great-grandparents came over just before the Holocaust from Germany. They were part of the diaspora where they had been spread out and gone all over the world. And fortunately, my great-grandparents were able to avoid the Holocaust because of leaving beforehand. I found that out later. But a pastor that I ended up receiving the Lord after hearing him preach on hell had come to Baltimore, Maryland for ministry purposes to reach the Jewish people, which is why this verse has a twofold meaning to me, because I got an opportunity to hear the gospel and get saved from a devil's hell because of his heart to go to the Jewish people. as was Paul's heart and as is my heart, to reach the Jewish people for Christ. There's a lot of ministries out there for Jewish people that primarily focus on giving aid and doing all these different things. And while I appreciate those things, and sometimes those things are necessary to reach them, but the primary goal of our ministry is to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to be able to work with them, witness to them, and have the open doors. So primarily we are working right now, due to many circumstances, on the East Coast. Now, when you think about Jewish people and where they are in the world, in 2019, they came out with some numbers. They said about 42% of the Jews in the world are in Israel. 38% are in America. And the other 20% are spread abroad. Now, by the way, I appreciate the prayers for Ukraine. We have some ties in our ministry with folks in Ukraine. We do have a pretty constant understand. We know the news all gets twisted around a lot. We do have a good constant feed from there to kind of have a true gauge on what's happening. Our missionary over there that we're associated with, Brother Eugene, said that he had a missile go over his house and landed about 5 miles away. He's still safe as of right now, as far as we're aware. They had services this morning. We know that. But there's a lot of Jews there as well. Russia has a lot. You know, so I know that they're trying to get a lot of these Jews out of Ukraine and back to Israel. That's something that is being worked on. But anyway, all that being said, I know that Brother Doss had recommended us, and I appreciated that. Something that he was interested in, I'll present to you guys. Romans 10:1, we put the music. I'm going to play it on my horn, and then I'm going to give it to you in English and Hebrew. I warn you, I'm not a singer. I warn every church I go into, I'm not a singer. But I do it just because it is normally a blessing. The verse means a lot to me. It's our proof verse for our ministry. So if you don't mind, real quick, I'll go ahead and do that. I do it off of an index card. Also claims that she's not a singer, but I don't know. Sometimes we do okay, sometimes not. But anyway, we'll do it in English and Hebrew. We'll do it in Hebrew first this time. I hope I don't throw you there, hon. It's Echai levavi hefetz utfilati le'elohim Be'ad Yisrael Asher Yivasheu. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, they might be saved. Amen. Here, honey, take this stuff and put it back over there for me. Please, thank you. I'll real quick present what our ministry is. If any of you have a prayer card, it details it on the back. There's a lot of things that go on with Jewish ministry, with reaching the Jewish people. Understand that they have a viewpoint that is incorrect. They separate Christianity and Judaism, when in reality, Christianity is a fulfillment, not a replacement Many times you hear about replacement theology, and when I go into a church, I kind of look around. I get a quick sense of whether I'm in a church that believes replacement theology. This isn't one of them. I'm pretty sure of that, anyway. So I'll try to be nice in regards to that and not hit that too hard, because I have a vehement frustration with that particular doctrine. We have not replaced Israel, brethren. But rather, we're grafted in with them by the mercy of God, and I'll go into that in a minute. But understand something, and this is going to be tough talk, is the Jewish people have some confusion on a number of things. One of them is that they would look at me standing up here today as somebody worse than Hitler himself. And I'll explain that statement. Now, the Jews, if you ever talk to them, they sure don't have a real kind thought process when it comes to Hitler and Nazi Germany and the Holocaust, right? And we shouldn't either, and we don't. But they say that Hitler murdered the Jewish body, you see. And to them, a Christian missionary is trying to destroy the Jewish soul. When in reality, a Christian missionary or an ambassador for Christ and to the Jewish people is trying to introduce their Messiah. This book is a Jewish book from cover to cover. The Messiah is a Jewish Messiah. He is the King of the Jews, and they have missed that. And the interpretation of the scriptures, much like, and we were talking before the service started, we were talking about how the devil uses the same tactics for religion across the board. I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and the world says I'm a religious fanatic, yet I'm more against religion than most people on the planet. Religion has destroyed people, has sent people to hell for many, many years, you see. And it's not about religion, it's about a relationship that we have with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the reality is the devil uses, and this is what I'm getting at, the same tactic, whether it's for Roman Catholicism, whether it's for Judaism, or any other man-invented religion. And the number one thing, no matter how he does it, is to get them away from this. You see, Roman Catholicism has done that. I have firsthand experience growing up in it. I wasn't a faithful Roman Catholic. All I knew was Easter, I got a bunch of gifts, and man, I ate a lot of sugar on, or Easter, got ate a lot of sugar, Christmas, a lot of gifts. See, I got them backwards. I don't even know what they are. Later on in life, I began to have spiritual questions. And you never know when you're dealing with somebody, whether Jew or Gentile, where they are in their curiosity, where they are in their search for God. And it's important that we present the gospel to them. And a lot of folks, they get to a point where they have a hard time with rejection. Remember this. And I tell a lot of people that I talk to in regards to witnessing, giving out tracts, presenting the gospel, if somebody rejects what you're telling them, don't take it personally. They're not rejecting you. I've always had a hard time with rejection, but I got used to it after high school. It happened a lot. But so remember, they're rejecting Jesus Christ. It's their job to present the gospel to them. And it's no different. The Jews, you see missionaries out there and you get letters back. We had a revival and 1,000 got saved. I doubt my prayer letters will ever look like that. Okay, because it's just not the way it happens when it comes to dealing with a Jewish person, especially one that's religious. It takes oftentimes years, a continual building of a relationship with them to get that open door to sit down with them and really give a good presentation of the gospel, because they're very resistant at first, at least openly, but they're also very curious. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. You do have a clock in the back there I can watch. Good. I'm really bad at staying on time, folks, so I apologize if I miss it by a minute or two here. So I want to look real quick. We've looked at Romans 9. We've looked at Romans 10:1. I want to turn to Romans 11, which is where I'm going to try to give a little bit of a quick lesson here for Sunday school. And a lot of it has to do with a proof but for our ministry. But here's the deal. So when I talk about all through the Bible, Jesus dealt with this, Paul dealt with this, they both rebuked the traditions of the Jews. The modern day word for tradition in the Bible is their Talmud. Okay, they have made that as a replacement. You know, you hear a lot of Catholics, you know, they go to the priest for this. They have to ask the priest for that. They're taught that they can't read and understand the Bible. It's the same thing with the Jews, okay? They first of all, they looked at the Talmud to explain the scriptures. And in reality, the Talmud and the scriptures contradict each other many, many times, number one. Number two, when dealing with them, a lot of times what we run into is when we talk to them and talk to them and talk to them, and we're talking about different scriptures, different prophetic things. The best way to deal with a Jew is through the Tanakh, the Torah, which is, of course, your first five books of your Old Testament, as we as Christians will refer to it. Now, keep in mind that the Old Testament for a Jew, first of all, they don't recognize the word Old Testament. It is the only testament to them. They call it the Torah, the writings, the prophets, or the Tanakh. The word Tanakh, and we have it back there on the table. If you want to look at it, it's a Hebrew English Tanakh. Is an acronym for the Torah, the law, and the prophets and writings. Okay, but they recognize that. And what there's so much prophetic things fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's all of them were fulfilled. But where they get confused is the first and second coming. And that's one of the biggest attacks of the anti-missionaries that I mentioned. That there's people in Judaism that are there just to combat missionaries from converting their people. And they deal with them. Rabbi Tovia Singer is one of the main ones. He's kind of one of the main rabbis that leads the anti-missionary movement. He's debated with a fellow named Michael Brown. I don't know if you folks know who that is. He's basically the head of the Messianic movement. But he's very intelligent. Your Independent Baptist will recommend Jewish missionaries listen to him, because he does have a tremendous amount of knowledge in dealing with the objections to Jesus from the Jewish people. So I want a quick look at the Bible. Since we're talking about them getting away from the scriptures, let's not do that. My words aren't really all that important. If you'll turn to Romans 11, and starting in verse 7, if I'm talking a little fast, it's because I have a lot of heart for this, and there's a lot of material that I like to try to present, and it's just... it's better if I go fast. So verse 7 says, "What then Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." Verse 8, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare," verse 9, "and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Surely it has been." Verse 10, "Let their eyes be darkened, and that they may not see, and bow down their back always." Now, let's look at verse 11. "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles." And that's right there where the church as a whole stops reading. And they miss this last little section of that verse, which is very humbling to the Gentile world. Paul said this. He said, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, but it's come unto the Gentiles for a reason. Now listen, it says, "For to provoke them to jealousy." Let me share a little something with you real fast about provoking Jewish people. One of my favorite testimonies, it seems silly, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We like to go into the markets. One of the things that the Bible says that Paul did this, he went into the markets, preached them. So we do that. Same thing, he went into the synagogue. So we try to do that. We try to meet with rabbis and talk to them. We try to follow the scriptural things. So we went into a market called Seven Mile Market in Baltimore, Maryland. It's in that Pikesville area I mentioned. And believe it or not, it's on Seven Mile Road, or it used to be. They moved it. So they didn't change the name. So Seven Mile Market's no longer on Seven Mile. But I went to give a track and try to witness to a fella that was working behind the deli in the market. And he said to me, "I don't want that." You know, reject it. Okay, no problem. I said, "Well, I will give it to a righteous Gentile. He'll appreciate it." So I got back to the bakery, and that guy come around that deli, run me down, "Give me that." You know, so when we're dealing with Jewish people, understand this, and whether it's Jewish people, whether it's the Gentile world, it doesn't matter who it is. This book will tell you what they're made of. Now, especially the Jew, I mean, from cover to cover in the Bible, you want to know how a Jew thinks, what a Jew thinks, how they respond, just read your Bible. You can read your New Testament, see how Jesus, see how Paul dealt with them. You can read the Old Testament and see what their history looks like, how they responded to God, how at different times in their rebellion, in their faithfulness, the whole shooting match. The best way to try to witness and win people and be fishers of men is use what God gave us in the Scriptures. We're very fortunate. We have this book. We don't value it the way we should. If we take the time to look at church history, look at the Jewish world and what it takes, you know what? If you want to go ahead and buy a Torah scroll, the ones in the synagogues, the fully, it takes, I think they said about 3 years for them to scribe one of those things, number one. Number two, how much can we get one of these Bibles for? You can get a King James Bible in a dollar store for $1. You go into a synagogue, get your hands on a Torah scroll, they're upwards in the 100,000 mark, something like that. A normal person can't afford it. It's not going to happen. And it's very well protected and preserved. In fact, when they do Simchat Torah, which is a time where they will normally open the Torah scroll and run all the way around the synagogue, and the people will all hold it up and get an opportunity to do that. Something I haven't gotten an opportunity to do. I want to. I want to be there and hold that thing. But they make you put on gloves the whole nine yards as to protect it and not destroy the ink and the paper. The ink they use has to be, there's a special recipe they have to use. I mean, there's so much that goes into this Bible. So many people have died and been martyred to give us this book. You know, and we can get it for a buck at a dollar store. We need to value this Bible and the fact that we have it, okay? And we need to read into it. In our efforts to witness to people, it's not, we shouldn't be using man-made, and the whole world is going contemporary and trying to figure out how to fill the churches and use wrong things to do right things. And God will never honor that. And the reality is the fruit won't be there in the long term. Let's look at verse 12 for a minute. It says, "Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." What does he mean? It says, 14, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Paul is still citing the fact that, yes, he's the apostle to the Gentiles, but his heart is broken for his people. And the Lord has given mercy to us, and I do believe this with all my heart. I do not take away an opportunity to witness to any man. The Bible says that we're to preach the gospel to every creature. We're to go to the Jew and the Gentile. But I do believe that the Jewish people have a close place to God's heart. I do believe that obviously Paul, his heart broke. And the reality is the Romans Road was written by Paul, right? You know, a lot of people's salvation, a lot of our salvation is accountable to Paul and the writings that God entrusted him with. And his prayer is, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved." How can we show that we're thankful? How can we show that we appreciate not only our Messiah, the Word of God, the fact that the Bible says salvation is of the Jew? You know, the Bible says the oracles of God were committed unto the Jew. You know, we have a debt as a Christian church. We have a debt to the Jewish people to go ahead and show them that we are thankful and we do appreciate everything about them, because somehow or another, for many, many years, you know, the first church was all Jewish people, you know, and we've gone kind of, instead of having a balance of Jew and Gentile in the churches have, and I don't speak of an individual church congregation. Understand that. I want to clarify that. But as a whole, we as a church have gotten away, and we either say, well, God will deal with them then, or we've replaced them. And you know, we're now God's people. The Jews are no longer God's people. Don't say that to a Jew. Take your head off. I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you, you're crazy as a loon. And I'll stand right next to him and say the same thing. And I'm a born-again Christian. You know, the Bible's very clear about these things. You know, but we do owe a debt, I do believe. And my heart breaks for the fact that the Jewish people have done all this for us, and yet they're going to go, they're going to die, they're going to burn in hell for all of eternity. And so our heart burdens to try to reach them and tell them and preach the gospel to them and try to show that mercy to them that we have had shown to us through, unfortunately, their ignorance and their rejection as a nation. Yes, the Jewish people rejected the Messiah as a nation, their leaders, but many, many, many Jewish people did not. And there's example after example in the book of Acts, where as Paul preached, there were many, both Jews and Gentiles, that received Christ by Paul's preaching, and then there was the group that rejected it, okay? And over again, Paul went to a city, went to the synagogue, preached to them. Sometimes it says up to three Sabbaths, so that's three different weeks worth of preaching in the synagogues, and there was much fruit. It's not that the Jewish people won't get saved. They will. And there's coming a time, and people that say, well, we don't have to go to the Jew. God has another plan for them. All this kind of craziness. For the last 2,000 years, Jews have been dying and going to hell. And in reality, we think the Holocaust is bad, folks. There's coming a day. Does this church pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Okay, Bible commands us to do that. Do we know what that means? That means a whole lot of bloodshed. That, you're asking for a ton of bloodshed, because that peace isn't going to come, according to the scriptures, until the time of Jacob's trouble, which is going to far outweigh any Holocaust we've ever seen. And there's going to be a lot of Jewish people killed, and a lot of Jewish people end up in hell. And for us, that breaks my heart. Here's a people that are trying to live righteously. Now, they go, the Bible says, they go about to establish their own righteousness. We have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, thank God. And they need that because they have no atonement. They lost their atonement. They lost their sacrifice. There's no temple. And they'll argue with you that the rabbis tell them, oh, well, you can just have this day or time of repentance and this and that, and God, that'll count for an atonement. No, let's look at Leviticus 17 and see if we can argue that. It's not going to happen. It's through blood sacrifice. But the reason they don't have it is because Jesus Christ was that evening sacrifice. They have an eternal sacrifice. You know, the Jews still very much observe the Day of Atonement. They fast the whole nine yards, and it's a great time to deal with them around that time. It is a very solemn time for them. But they try to put blinders on to what they know is true, to what they know their scriptures say. But the reality is they have no sacrifice, they have no atonement. But the other reality is they do. They just miss their Messiah. And, of course, you can deal with them along. The book of Isaiah is great. Daniel 9 is a great prophecy to talk to them about. Genesis 12, you think the verses that talk about all the nations being blessed because of them, you know, the primary fulfillment of that is not the fact that we have all these advancements of medicine, and the Jewish people have given all those things to the world. Don't get me wrong. But the reality is, the total fulfillment of that verse that they miss is the nations of this earth have been blessed because of them, because the Messiah came out of them. This book came out of them. That's where the true and highest fulfillment of that verse comes from. And they just don't see it as a whole, as a nation. But we, as a community, churches, missionaries, Christians, have an opportunity to bring that truth to them, talk to them. They'll talk to you, but you can't be a mouse hiding in a corner. That's not who they are. They know the Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion. They know if you're scared of them, that it's just whatever you have to say isn't worth listening to. If you know you've got the book, you know you've got the Word of God, you know you have the Messiah, proclaim it boldly. Verse 16 says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree," speaking to the Gentile world, "were grafted among them," again, grafted among them, I repeat, "and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree." In other words, we got to get in on the goods, okay? Not that that there's some new tree. There's not. We were grafted in to that olive tree. It says, verse 18, speaking to us as a church, as the Gentile world, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Verse 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. 20, well, because of unbelief, okay, Bible says, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, look out now, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were graft contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Look, folks, our ministry to the Jewish people is just simply a broken heart to see God's chosen people work so hard, and the religious especially work very hard. You know, Paul said, because of the things he went through as a Christian, he said, if these things aren't so, I'm of all men most miserable. You know, the Jewish people spend their life and their time doing things, trying to obey 613 laws of Moses, which in reality they can't, because it's a number of them cannot be obeyed. And the Bible says if you're guilty of one, you're guilty of all. You know, they're in a mess. They're in a pickle. Some of them know it. But just like us, that we want to turn a blind eye and tell ourselves, we're okay. You know, it's not our fault. It's nothing we can do about it. We have no temple. What are we going to do? God must understand. But the reality is, it's not going to work that way, because they've rejected their Messiah. The very thing when you deal with the Jewish people that they say about Christian missionaries, they say, hey, you're twisting the scriptures to make them fit what you want to believe. No, that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what the leaders, my people, they which lead thee, cause thee to err, the Bible says. You know, it's a great problem within this world, no matter who we deal with. The unsaved, and the bottom line is, it's an issue of belief. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, when we do things as a church, as a people, that are essentially against God, not what we ought to do, it doesn't make sense, right? Why people do some of the things they do. The truth of the matter is it's because we don't believe this book. We don't believe we're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ someday. And especially the unsaved are going to stand before that white throne judgment. The same problem is with the Jews. Many of them have gone away even from their Jewish faith because of their beliefs. They say, how can God be all powerful and both good and allow the Holocaust to happen? Toughest question you ever have to answer to a Jewish person. I'm still working on improving the answer to that because it's so difficult. And it goes by who you're talking to help them to understand. But there is a way, and kind of the way we present the answer to that question is the same God which you're trying to figure out how he's so good and so powerful. Look at the fact that what Israel has been through the last 2,000 years, that they still stand. It's impossible. They couldn't. It's not even... the goal, you know, the old joke, what happens when the lights go out in Palestine? Anybody know? They turn on the Israelites. here's a country the size of New Jersey, folks, and on every border, they're hated. These folks want to drive them into the Mediterranean Sea, yet God has stopped it every time. And to present and help them understand. And the reality is you can't come off and tell them, here's most Christians answer the Jew why the Holocaust happened. Well, you said that let his blood be upon us and upon our children. While that may have some truth to it, and it does, that's not a proper answer when you're trying to win a Jewish person. It's not going to go anywhere. You know, and so you can talk about that down the road in a witnessing effort, but not the original presentation or answer you want to give. It is a very difficult field, and there are tough people. The Bible is very clear. There are stiff-necked people. But at the same time, they are very close to the heart of God, and the fact that they're unsaved and headed for hell is absolutely heartbreaking, as well as any. It's kind of like you look at, you know, your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your daughters, your sons. Isn't there a special place in your heart for your own family not to see them burn in hell? Keep in mind that this is Paul's family. This is Jesus, our Messiah's family, that we're talking about. You know, it could be descendants quite down the road, but you may be dealing with a Jewish person that could be a direct descendant from King David to Jesus right into this day and age. You could have an opportunity to present a gospel tract or a witness to one of the 144,000. I know it sounds kind of out there, but, you know, it seems we're heading down to the wire here, folks. And I think those prophetic things that we all know that seemed at one time in our lives so far away, it's kind of knocking at our back door at this point. You know, a missionary friend of mine who we're partnered with, Dr. Henry Benick, he made a statement. He said, more Jewish people have been saved probably in the last 19 or 20 years than they have in the last 1900. The time of the Gentiles, folks, is winding down. And I personally believe it's a pivotal time in history, and that we ought to go ahead and do the best we can to work to present the gospel, preach the gospel in any opportunity or capacity we can. You know, folks, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed to the end of today. You know, a preacher friend of mine used to say, preach like it'll be the last time you ever get to before you stand before God. And whether that's preaching the gospel in front of a church or simply witnessing to somebody you meet or care about, or somebody when you're buying your groceries or going to get gas for your car, you know, give them the gospel. Take an opportunity to do it. The Bible is very clear that if we do not do those things, their blood is going to be on our hands. If they reject it, then the blood's no longer on our hands. But we do have a job to do as a church, as Christians, to get the gospel to folks, to live our lives in a fashion the Bible says. In fact, I think part of the verse is right behind me. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not just the gospel tract. It's not just what comes out of our mouth, but it's how we live our life from day to day. And I thank you, preacher. I'm going to go ahead and close out in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to stand before your people today, Father, and all the things going on in this world. We thank you for the privileges that you give us to live, to have an opportunity to care for the souls of our brother, sister, folks we walk through this world with, meet. Lord, I pray that you would help us to that end, to be able to reach them, that we wouldn't have to see them burn in hell and have to answer before the white throne, but rather that they would receive you, Father, and help us to be a light to this world that's not hid under a bushel, Lord, that we would go ahead and preach the gospel with no shame, but thankfulness that we get the opportunity that you give us in this life. One of the brothers this morning said, doing better than he deserves, I'm doing better than I deserve to. Lord, we deserve hell. You've given us a way of escape, Father, and we thank you so much that you had love for us to lay down your life for us. Lord, and it's a free gift of God, and we're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Richard. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to have Brother McDonald here. I don't know about you, but one thing I know, and my pastor back home has said this before, you know, being a Gentile and getting saved, heart for the Jewish people. I can't explain it. I just know when I got saved, automatically I had a heart for God's people. Now I know the church is the bride of Christ, but I know the Jewish people are his children. And God the Father has a heart, God the Son has a heart to the Jewish people. And I'm going to say it, nonsense of the church has replaced Israel, God wants nothing more to do with the Jews. That's not coming from the Bible. And
just what he read here, if you just read Romans chapter, what he just read, shows you that God has not done with the Jewish people.
That's right.
He has not done with them. Real quick, I want to show, he read a verse, but look at chapter 11, verse 24. Brother McDonald made a comment. He said, we are indebted to the Jews. And I believe that. I believe we are indebted to the Jewish people. And brother, you made an interesting comment because I said it to my wife, I think it was this week, my wife and I were driving somewhere and I said, you know what? The times of the Gentiles is about fulfilled.
Yeah. Amen.
God said, I'm not done with the Gentiles. They're done. It's back to the Jewish people again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a privilege and an honor to live for God in these hours. But look what he says in verse 24, chapter 11. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, this next comment, mm-hmm. and we're grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. Mm-hmm. Us getting saved is contrary to nature.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's contrary. It's not natural that the Gentiles got in on this thing. It's a privilege.
Yes.
It is a privilege and an honor. He came into his own, but then at least he provided us as an opportunity as Gentiles to get in on this thing. See, I think a lot of Gentiles today, I think we're spoiled and we think, well, it's just always been about us.
No.
It's not about us as Gentiles. It's always been about the Jewish people. Yeah. And this little break that God's taken away, this little time where our eyes are blinded and the veil is in front of them, is just to bring about the church. Mm-hmm. And then we're going right back to the Jew again. Okay? And all through eternity. All through eternity. The church is a little parenthetical time here. The bride of Christ, but Israel, the Jewish people. This week I was looking at some stuff of Temple Mount Society, and it just broke my heart seeing how they're getting, they got the garments ready, they got the plan set up, and they're working on the dye that they have and dyeing their garments. And brother, I just saw something, somebody sent me a thing of a, oh, what's it called now, brother, for the Kohites. The priests. They got an institute over there now. They're calling all Kohites and Kohen to come back to Israel to learn how to be one of the high priests and the priests there to teach them. So they said as soon as they get that temple, that we're ready to roll and get this thing going.
Look out.
I'm telling you, stuff happened in the Ukraine. And, brethren, these are the last days we're living in.
Yes.
Let's be about our Father's business. Let's be faithful to God. Let's be faithful to the Jewish people, God gives us opportunity to witness that we wouldn't be scared, but we would be bold as a lion and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, again, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I really do thank you, Lord, that Brother Brian McDonald's wife here were able to come by this morning. Lord, I pray you bless their ministry. Lord, I know it's something close to your heart. Lord, I pray as they go out and about, witness and try to talk to your people, the Jewish people, Lord, you provide open doors. Lord, I pray you bring across their paths, dear God, those that, Lord, the seed might have been sowed years ago. Lord, if you bring the right people across their path to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you bless their efforts, dear God. I pray you help not to get discouraged. Lord, that they would just stay faithful to what you call them to do. And you watch over and protect them and keep them safe. Lord, I pray the same thing this morning for the missionaries and those there in Ukraine. Lord, I pray you watch over them. Lord, I pray you protect the believers there. I pray you protect the church that's there. And Lord, during this difficult time in that country, Lord, I pray you would provide open doors to witness and give the gospel. Lord, just help those missionaries there and believers as well. Lord, we give you glory and honor. I praise, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a little break here in 5 minutes. If any men are interested in praying, you can pray to my office. Amen.